for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 28th, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on barriers to healing.
Jerry McGee from Lindale, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Abiding Life Ministries.
Thank you.
Friend.
Love you all. Well, this morning I want to share on barriers to healing, and this is about a 5-day teaching. And so I'm just, in fact, when I was trying to study this morning, I just said, Lord, there's just so many loose ends, you're going to have to tie them all together. So, Lord, we thank you that I'm not going to fret about this, that you're going to show us what you want today. Lord, you know exactly what people need to hear. So bring it forth. You said, I'm a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from our innermost being. Lord, you said, if I commit my way to you, you'll establish my thoughts and the thoughts of your children. So we ask you to do that now in Jesus' name. Well, the message this morning is on barriers to healing. And you could also say these really apply to deliverance too. And, America is on the verge. A big barrier to healing is trusting in man to heal us. God is the great physician. And He is our healer and He is our deliverer. And America, because we have made doctors gods, even church members, believers, we've made doctors our gods. And because of our folly, it's possible we're getting ready to get turned over to Obamacare because we have made doctors our gods. And God says, I'll turn you over to your folly. And so someone has said something regarding healing, and I want to read this if I can find it. It says, characterizing the American deification of physical health, the hospital, and the physician, Kavanaugh, I don't know who he was, in 1972, makes the following statement. Our universal deity, physical health, is the major god currently worshipped. His demands for untold dollars and tribute are incessant. Every day it costs more to worship at his shrine, the hospital, yet the devout seem only too willing to skate and to pay. They sit uncomplainingly for endless hours in the offices of his high priest, physical physicians, and will purchase any drug or pill or lotion the priest prescribe. In any combination, in any shrine, the dying are excommunicated, the dead are damned. You know, God says that sickness is a curse. And I believe that I have never met anybody that doesn't need something if it's not deliverance or some physical thing that needs to get fixed. I've got a lot of things that need to get fixed. But I'm looking for the answers here and not in the world system. You know, the Bible says that sickness is a curse. And you think, well, you know, we've been taught in the church that a Christian can't be under a curse. Well, that's a lie. Deuteronomy 28 says that if we're disobedient to the voice of God and His commandments, one of the curses is that a fever is a curse. Can Christians have fever? It also lists confusion. Can Christians be confused? It lists tumors. Can Christians have tumors? And that's in Deuteronomy 28. In the New Testament, it says, in Revelation 22, if you add to or take away from the Word of God, your every curse that's in this Bible is on you. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says that if you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, some of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. Now, a barrier to healing means there's something that hinders or restricts your healing or your deliverance. One of the things that hinder deliverance, one barrier, big barrier, is pride. We were talking about this morning. You know, at the morning prayer meeting, you'll have so many people congregate up here. But as we start praying for people and y'all start listening to their stuff, you think, I don't want my stuff exposed, so you leave. You know what? God says the humble get grace. Right? I know that happens every time. There'll be so many people up here, but they kind of scatter and dwindle toward the end. You know what? We have to have the attitude of the woman who pressed through the crowd to touch Jesus' garments. And you know what? She humbled herself. And it's only as we humble ourselves will we receive God's grace. And so all of us have issues in our life that God wants to heal, and the answer is found in God's Word. If we're under a curse and we go to the world for answers and we don't look for the cause of the curse, which is a big barrier to healing, we don't look for the cause of the curse, then or don't realize that we can be under a curse, then that's a barrier to healing. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot lie. So I've learned to look for the cause. And, you know, failing eyes is a curse. This is a curse. But the answer cannot be found in the world. Maybe they might fix something. What I got can't be fixed, except that God fixes it. And so, so I know there's a cause to this, and I'm looking for the cause. You know, if I go to the world for answers and I'm under a curse, they might cut it out, move it around, change it around, sew it up, patch it up, take it out, put it in, or whatever they do. But if I don't find the cause of the curse, it will come back, whatever it is. And then not only do I have... Now I have the curse of the sickness, but now I have the Band-Aid they put over my spiritual problem. Now I've got to deal with something else besides the original thing, and I've got to look for the cause of the curse. And that's a big barrier to healing. Another barrier to healing is ingratitude. Murmuring and complaining and griping and grumbling. You know, if God inhabits my praises, who do you think inhabits your groans and moans and your complaints? You are calling in demons into your life. And so that's a barrier to healing, ingratitude, speaking negatively about yourself and about others. The Bible says that if our words, by our very words, we trouble our own soul, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. I say this is maybe the biggest reason why people aren't healed, a barrier, is because so many of you are believers in your head, but you've never been born again. Born again means what's up here gets down in your heart, and your heart gets transformed. I accepted the Lord 5 years before I was ever born again. I accepted the Lord, was baptized. From the time I was a little girl, I believed in God. But I had never been born again till I got in the Word of God, and God changed my whole heart. And when I got to the Scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, I thought, that's what happened to me. I was not even a church member. When you're born again, you can't do the things you used to do. You feel convicted immediately. And your desire is to please the Lord. And you know, if I can't explain born again. And those of you who've been born again, you can't explain it. But if you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been born again, then you think, well, do you mean, did I accept Jesus? Well, you know, and go to John chapter 2. There was a group of people that believed on Jesus, but he didn't give himself to them because he knew their hearts. John 2:23 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. You know, the Bible says that the demons believe in Jesus. And you can be a believer in your head, but if your heart has never been transformed, you've never been born again. some years ago, I taught a meeting out in California, and I knew that a big portion of these people were not even born again, but they were all believers. And I said, Lord, how do I teach people how to be born again? What do I say? And God told me really clearly, if any man will follow me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if you're a believer and you've never given up control of your life and given it up to Jesus by being willing to give up your life, then you've never been born again. And that's the biggest barrier to healing. I used to have a ministry forum where I had people that had come out of prostitution, they were pimps, drug addicts, mentally ill, pervert, you name it. And I, after about 5 years, I realized I've been trying to get lost people delivered. They all told me they were believers. They all told me they were Christians. But as I look back on it, I was trying to get lost people delivered. And you've got to be born again, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you have to be born again. And so if you've never been willing to give up your life, then you need to be born again, because that's a requirement. Jesus said, you cannot follow me and come after me unless you're willing to deny yourself. Now, that's a process. Somebody said, well, you know, if we could pick our cross, we'd pick a more comfortable one. But you know, it wouldn't be a cross if you could pick it. If you liked it, it wouldn't be a cross. I love what Derek Prince said. He said, your cross is not your husband, not your wife, not your bills, even though that can be a cross. Your cross is not your daughter-in-law. It's not your finances. It's not where you live. Your cross is where your will crosses God's will. So for me to give up my life, I have to choose God's way over my way, His attitudes over my attitudes, His thoughts over my thoughts, His word over my word. Do I always want to do it? No. But sometimes when I hear what God's saying do, I don't want to do it, but I choose to do it. I choose to do it. And it's a process. You know what? The narrow way is what it is. Jesus said, there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that finds it. Now, there's false prophets that say there's going to be 2/3 of the world saved in this great revival. That's not even scriptural. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that finds it. And you know what? I find that the narrow way gets more narrow, and I find it gets more lonely. And somebody said the other day when I was sharing something with her, she said, you know, I'm rejected by everybody. And I said, you know, the narrow way is a lonely way. And then she said later God showed her, and it's single file. You have to be willing to follow God when your family thinks you're nuts, when they think you're crazy, when you're at a family gathering and you wonder, what's wrong with me? What they think is funny and fun, I don't think's funny. Have y'all experienced that? I felt like a bump on the law. I mean, it was a great Thanksgiving. The people were so sweet to me and all this stuff. But I found myself in the living room on the couch thinking, what they're getting a kick out of, I need to straighten up, or they're going to think I'm really weird. So I moved from one couch to another. Anyway, but you have to be willing to be called weird. You are a peculiar people. God's word says that. You know, the next barrier to healing is not having a prospering soul. 3 John says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your health and healing will be in proportion to a prospering soul. Now, you're not going to get your soul prospering listening to Christian TV, because most of it is heresy. Leonard Ravenhill, a great man of God, said, if we don't hurry and get to heaven, the TV evangelists are going to dig up the streaks of gold. You have a prospering soul through being in God's Word, through repenting over God's Word, reading God's Word, repenting, meditating on it, memorizing it, meditating on it. And if you want the greatest healing and deliverance, repenting over the Word of God. You know, a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with some bad eye problems. And I was repented up and prayed up of everything. You could say, Jerry, is there any sin you're committing? I'd say, well, no, I've confessed it all. I've repented of everything. But when I started looking up scriptures on eyes, blind, blinded, heart, see, vision, eyes, I saw so much sin in my life, I thought, dear God, no wonder I have an eye problem. You see, the Bible says He sent His Word to heal me. And as I look in the Word for the reasons why I have opened doors in my life or why I'm looking for spiritual roots to diseases, He shows me. The Scripture says, you know, if you have heart problems, it says the Word of God will revive your heart. Your strength and your heart may fail, but the Lord is your portion forever. Another barrier to healing is failure to see that you're under a curse. Because, you know, that's not taught today in the church, that you could be under a curse. I prayed for years the Lord would show me a New Testament verse that said you could be under a curse by saying, you know, besides, if you take the Lord's Supper, some of you are weak and sick and die. That doesn't sound like a blessing, does it? And the scripture in Revelation that says, if you add to or take away from the Word of God, you're under every curse in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians, it says, if you don't love the Lord, let him be accursed. Any person that doesn't love the Lord, let him be accursed. Well, John 14, I think it's 14:26, where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you could say, anyone who does not keep his commandments, let him be accursed. Because Jesus said, if you don't love the Lord, let him be accursed. But I prayed for a specific verse, and the Lord showed me in Galatians, if you'll go to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory to God, hallelujah, that's true. Jesus Christ became a curse for us at Calvary that the blessings of Abraham might come to us. Now that's the one you hear, especially by the faith healers. You hear them all say, use this scripture, but they always leave out verse 10. It says, for as many, now this is the specific verse that says in the New Testament that says you can be under a curse. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So, Proverbs 26 says, a curse without a cause cannot lie. Okay, the next barrier to healing is failure to find the spiritual root to the problem. And a spiritual root of a disease is defined in Christian terms as a sin that actually causes the disease. Now, most Christians get appalled and do not appreciate you telling them that they have sin in their life. You know, God says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. I mean, I've found that you can be prayed up and confessed up and still find so much sin. If you haven't committed it, your forefathers have. And so, I just want to give a few scriptures to prove the connection between sickness and disease. I heard someone say years ago, there are four reasons why people get sick. There's a sickness because of sin. There's a sickness unto death if it's your time to go. I think it was Elisha or Elijah that was so powerful they threw him in a grave and they threw a dead body over him and it was the power of, it was in Elijah that dead person was resurrected. And it says that he died with the sickness that he was to die with. There's the sickness for the glory of God. But the glory is not in keeping yourself sick. The glory was when Jesus said, when the disciples said, well, why is this man blind? Because of his sin or the sins of his father? And he said he was blind neither, not anybody's sin. And Jesus turned right there and then healed the man. So the glory was in the healing. God doesn't want you sick. And then there's another reason is if you destroy your temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says if you destroy your temple, I'll destroy you. Now, I know a man right now, and I'm fixing to talk to him lovingly. He's got an aneurysm on a major artery near his brainstem, and it's pushing against his throat. This is a man that lives on our farm. And he doesn't smoke around me, but I smell him. And I have asked him, Carrie, are you still smoking? And he'll say, well, yeah, I am. I'm trying to quit. Well, his deliberation now, am I going to go and let him do surgery and do something to this aneurysm is so big, it's pushing against his throat and he can't swallow. And it's back here, your brainstem controls all your involuntary movements. And so his deliberation is to go and have that that aneurysm, something done to it. And his options are he could be paralyzed the rest of his life, he could die on the table, or he could be totally mentally zonked, not even know what town. Now those are or he could die instantly on the table. His only other option is of trust the Lord, I could drop dead any minute. Now which would you choose? I mean, to me, I would choose dropping dead with the Lord than being where I handicapped, not being able to walk or talk or think or being a vegetable. But with that serious problem, he's still smoking. And Lord, we just agree with me. We break the power of nicotine over him in Jesus' name. Right now, we speak deliverance over him in Jesus' name, and we command that aneurysm to leave now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn him, but I'm saying he's destroying his temple. If you want healed, you've got to find the answer in here, and you've got to repent of your sin. Whatever that is. So that's another cause for sickness. Another barrier to healing is your failure to look for the spiritual root to the problem. Not searching out. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And so we need to search the matter out. Whatever your problem is, if it's in the need of deliverance, there's a doorway that's been opened. Another barrier to healing is unconfessed and repented of sin. I'm amazed at how few Christians believe in 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you know, you can come to the prayer meeting and we can shoo the buzzards away. We can tell the demons to go and you'll find momentary relief. But the minute you walk out that door an hour later, they've come back seven times worse. So when you're coming to the prayer meeting for prayer, be sure to come with a repentant heart. And I just want to caution the deliverance ministers. You know, we can be sick from laying hands on someone too suddenly. That's another barrier to healing. Have you let just any Tom, Dick, and Harry lay hands on you? Demons can be transferred by the laying on of hands. Amen. And if you lay hands on anybody too suddenly without dealing with their sin, or if God tells you not to touch them and you touch them, you can get their demons. So and their sicknesses. And so it's a serious thing because the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But some people, God's not wanting to heal because there's sin in their life. And he says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Another barrier to healing is covered over sin. Proverbs 28 says, if you cover over your sin, you will not prosper. But if you confess and forsake your sin, you'll find mercy. So covered over sin is another barrier. Another one is living according to the flesh. If somebody told me that I was going to die, the first thing I'd examine, Romans 8 says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. In fact, I've done a teaching here that you can get from Lake Hamilton on sins worthy of death. And I went through all the scriptures on die and die, die and dying and death. and just pointed out the things that God's Word says, if you do, you'll die. You know, sexual sin and idolatry are the top two sins that bring God's wrath, bring a spirit of death. And so God says the soul that sins will die. And we've all sinned. If we haven't sinned, our forefathers have. And we have sinned. The sins of the fathers are passed on to the children to the third and fourth generation. So there's another barrier to healing, is not dealing with generational things. Generational sin. Living after the flesh, God says, you'll die. Trusting doctors. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Less than 0.5%, Henry Wright says, of people that are believers truly believe in divine healing. And there's some people that believe that God wants them sick. Well, if you think God wants you sick, you're going to stay sick. Or they'll say, well, I'm sick for God's glory. God wants me sick, but yet they run to the doctor for the doctor to fix them. I want to ask you a question. How many of you, if you were given a death sentence, you know, you were told you had a brain tumor or something, would you run to some man to try to fix you, or would you go to God to fix you? You see, that's trusting in the flesh. And God says we're under a curse if we do that. Another cause of sickness is we have a wrong refuge somewhere. Psalms 91 says, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, you'll abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And hallelujah, is that a wonderful end time verse. But it says, because you've made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor will no plague come near your dwelling. Well, I can tell you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, but when it comes to this right here, someplace generationally or in my life, I've made something else a refuge. Because in this area, there's a curse. And I'm pointing this out not to curse myself, but that's what the Word says. Failing of eyes is a curse. Despair of soul. Read Deuteronomy 28. And then read the scripture in the New Testament that says all scripture is given for what? Somebody quote that. Say it out loud. Somebody. For instruction and righteousness. Reproof. All scripture. That's the Old Testament and the New. Amen. And I just want to share some scriptures here that I started to do a while ago and got sidetracked. Any violation of the Word of God will open you up to a cause for a curse. Curses are carried out by demons. Blessings are carried out by holy angels. Just write these scriptures down. Psalm 31:10, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed me because of my iniquity and my body has wasted away. Does that sound like sin? Why I don't have no strength? God says His children are going to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. Psalms 38:3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. You have a bone problem? Psalms 109:16, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man and the despondent of heart to put him to death. I didn't finish reading that. Oh, and then 17 says, he also loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. And he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, and it, the cursing, entered into his body like water and oil in his bones. Proverbs 3:5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and it'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones.
Amen.
You see how it's connected? 99% of why you're sick is rooted in some sin, either generationally or something that your sin. Or somebody that has sinned against you and you have held unforgiveness toward them and let the sun go down on your anger. And you know, repenting over the Word of God, I'm just going to use this scripture. This is the greatest thing you can do for yourself, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God, I haven't done that. Please forgive me. and do not lean on your own understanding. Boy, God, my whole life I've leaned on my own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. God, I haven't acknowledged you in all my ways. Has anybody out here done that? No. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, dear God, I have been so wise in my own eyes. Please forgive me. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Lord, I haven't feared you and I haven't turned away from evil so it could be healing to my body and refreshment to my bones. You see, whatever your physical problem is, look up the word that if the word is in there, like if it's your eyes, look up eye scriptures and look up your symptoms in the Word of God, repenting over the Word of God. Psalms 107 says God sent His Word to heal you. He didn't send folks to heal you. He sent His Word to heal you. My friend Milton Green used to say, God sent His Word to heal you, not folks. But God sent His Word to heal you. And repent over the Word of God. That is the greatest thing that you can do. And when you do that, you will have a prospering soul. John 5:14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said, Behold, do not sin again, lest something worse happens to you. He healed this man and then told him, Don't go sin again. Hebrews 12:12-14. Therefore, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. Could you have knee problems? And make straight paths for your feet, meaning you need to walk in repentance. Instead of walking crooked, you need to walk straight in repentance. So that the limb, which is just lame now, may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. God said, you're only lame now, but if you don't walk straight paths, the limb which is lame will be put out of joint, but rather be healed. I'll just say this about knees. Knees have to do with worship. Both knees. What or who are you worshiping? One knee, bowing your knee to Baal. Which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men. You know, unforgiveness can put you out of joint, can't it? Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification which without which no one will see the Lord. And something I'm learning, I have got some family members that rain on my parade. How many of you have family members that rain on your parade? And you know what God shows me when I'm out on my porch praying in the morning? God, they're raining on my parade. What are you trying to show me? Well, you've done the very same thing at some point in your life. You don't do it now, but you used to. So, Lord, would you please forgive me? You see, that person is mirroring what I have long forgotten that I need to repent of. And when I do that, I get the log out of my eye, and then their speck doesn't bother me till my parade gets rained on again, and then God shows me something else about my life that He wants to change. You see, God lets people keep on doing things to you that rain on your parade to show you the idolatry in your life. Proverbs 19:16 says, He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 4:20-23, My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight, O God. How many of us have let His word depart from our sight? That's right there, a root to an eye problem. So forgive me, Lord. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, every day people are sowing things into your heart, and it sticks if you don't forgive them. And you're sowing things into other people's lives, and you're sowing life or death by everything you do. And people are sowing into you. And you can let that rotten seed stick through unforgiveness, or you can forgive that person and that thing never takes root in your life. You're a spiritual garden. Proverbs 14:30, A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but passion, which is envy and rottenness to the bones. Envy. Proverbs 16:24, Pleasant words are an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Has people spoken evil words to you? Have you spoken evil words to people? You see how that can make your bones sick? Proverbs 17:22, A merry heart, joyful heart, does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You say a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a sad heart will make you sick. You see, when somebody hurts you, you have till sundown to forgive them. And if you don't forgive them by sundown, the next day it's unforgiveness. And then the next day it's bitterness. And bitterness is like drinking poison waiting for someone else to die. And I believe that bitterness is at the root of 99% of why we're sick. It can happen, something happened in childhood that you let the sun go down. You know, so many people think because they're saved that they don't have to confess the sins before they got saved. But we have to confess our sins. When we come to Christ, He sets out to clean us up. Yes, ma'am. Yes. But He doesn't show them to you all at once. If He did, you'd just fall down. You couldn't take it. You saw everything that was wrong with you. He does it layer by layer. And He uses the problem to show you what's next. That's why you can count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that this testing of your faith is producing endurance. And the Word says, after you've done the will of God, you will receive what's been promised. And you have need of endurance, the Word says. And Matthew says it's those who endure to the end that are going to be saved. You ever wonder, you know, when you first heard that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, you didn't really get the true meaning of it? And I have a friend that calls me from Florida to moan and groan when I'm in the mood to listen to him moan and groan. I answer my phone. And I said, now onward Christian soldiers. Now you know what that song means, don't you? It's enduring to the end, persevering to the end. Not giving up, quitting, belling out, and fainting. Because wherever you go, you got to take yourself. You think, you know, if I just had a new set of circumstances. Well, wherever you go, your reaping follows you. And someone, I think it was Irma Bombeck, and that's probably the only thing she said I ever agreed with, but the grass is greener over the septic tank. If you've ever lived in the country, you can appreciate that. 2 Peter 2:28 says that Jesus Christ came that we might, number one, die to sin, number two, live to righteousness, and then number three, by His stripes be healed. There's two things that happen before healing. Die to sin and live to righteousness. It's been estimated that less than 5% of people get healed in the church because churches have relegated the responsibility of healing to health practitioners and to psychologists. And most people nowadays, probably, I don't know what the statistics are, but most people are on psychiatric medicine, then, and they don't even know what town they're in. And let me tell you, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And if you're taking psychiatric medicine, please know I'm not condemning you. But I'm telling you, you're going the wrong way. You've got to go find the root to why you've got mental problems. And I'll tell you, the main root is the lack of discipline as a child. You know, the Bible says that when you use a rod on a child, you drive the devil out of him. Right? It says if you beat him, he'll not die. And I'm not talking about child abuse, okay? I asked a little girl that came on one of my seminars. She came for prayer, and I said, did your mother discipline you? She said, oh boy, does she. She slapped me up, but she knocked me up against the bathroom wall. That's not discipline. No. There's one negative side of discipline, and that's use a rod if the child doesn't listen. But the positive sides of discipline is love, hugs, care, communication, affirmation, provision, teaching, training, leading, guiding, watching over, guarding them, talking to them, hugging them, kissing them, forgiving them. There's just hundreds of things that are positive sides of discipline, but only one negative. You get the rod if you don't listen. Well, when we come to Christ, mom and dad have not done it perfectly, so God sets out to correct us. And the way He corrects us is allow us to have a problem. And if we're wise enough to look for the answer, to be like kings that search the matter out, He'll give us the answer, and then we'll repent, and then that'll be over. But if you don't repent and you don't confess your sins, you're going to be dragging a bag of sin all the way into the grave. And I know this is one reason that I have such strength at my age, is because every day is a day of repentance. And I'm just amazed at the people that look at me and think, boy, it seems like all you do is repent, you poor thing. You've got so many things wrong with you. I mean, the church don't see the need of repentance. True born again, and even people that are born again, they have all these problems, but they don't know why. It's sin. Repent of your sin. James 5:14 says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing with oil. And the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus will raise up and heal the sick, and if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. Revelation 22. I've already shared that. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone of wood which can neither see nor hear, walk. And they did not repent of their murders nor of their sorceries nor of their immorality nor of their thefts. E.W. Kenyon, and I don't know if I agree with everything he taught. I've read some of his books, and I like some of them, and I've heard other people say he's into something, and I don't know. I guess they'd accuse everybody of being into something. But he went upstairs and put his best suit on and came back downstairs, and his daughter said, well, where are you going? He said, this is the day I'm going to die. He sat down in a chair and died. And I had a great-grandfather that told his son, you need to come to the house to dinner with me and Mom. This is the day I'm going to die. And he died. Lord, I ask you to tell me the day I'm going to die, because I've got a lot of loose ends I may need to tie up. Right? But if most of you were told you're going to die, you'd be on the phone calling some man to try to fix you. Did you know you can't die till God's ready for you? And if he's ready for you, what do you want to hang around here for? And face the one world government? And whatever else is coming down the pike. I mean, I know I'm gonna be here, but honestly, some of you say this is gonna be the church's greatest hour. And you know what? I'm by faith believing that. It hasn't got from here to here though, no. It's getting there though. We've had this prayer meeting, we're praying for East Texas. And so I pulled up all the scriptures on Psalms and Proverbs. And I called it proclamations, warfare prayers, proclamations, bullets and bombs to use against the enemy. And I'm telling you, the scriptures, it builds your faith so strong to see what God's word says about the days we're living in. He says the wicked have to bow down at your gates. Amen. They do. And I love this end time verse found in Deuteronomy. It says, if you obey the Lord, that the people of the world will see that you're called by the name of the Lord and they'll be afraid of you. Hallelujah. Or the enemy will come against you one way and he has to flee seven. I like those verses, don't you? Another barrier to healing is that ignorance of God's word. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Another barrier of healing is that there's breaches in our heart. You know, your spirit, soul, and body. If y'all have all seen that illustration, your body houses your soul, which is your heart. It's your conscience. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And then your spirit is housed by your soul. And so when there's a breach, when there's a generational sin that's not dealt with, you're born with lots of breaches in your soul realm. And then the things you do puts a breach there that you haven't repented of. The things that have been done to you puts a breach in the soul realm. And that's the area of your life where God says you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's when a problem comes up, you let God discipline you to straighten out and correct the things that Mom and Dad didn't correct. And if you don't deal with those breaches, eventually they'll work out into the physical body as sickness. And they call them doorways. Dr. Null, I think, called them spider webs. Another barrier to healing is anger and unforgiveness. Matthew chapter 5 says that if you're angry with your brother, you better make friends quickly with him while you're on the way, lest he turn you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown in prison. So every person you're angry at, you're in a spiritual prison. If you're mad at 500 people, you're in 500 separate prisons. And then God says that you'll stay there till you pay up every last sin. Until you forgive, you'll stay in the prison. Matthew 18 says that when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the torturers or the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It's the pain of disease. It means inquisitor. Another barrier of healing is, and let me just tell you how to forgive. How many of you said, I forgive? And a minute later, an hour later, a week later, a month later, you're still going, rah, rah, rah. Next time they say that, I'm going to say this, or I should have said this when they said that. Rah, 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 rah. How many of you have done that? Forgiveness is a choice. And if you try to forgive somebody and it won't go away, it keeps getting kicked up in your mind where you want to argue with them. You haven't forgiven them. And the reason is, it's a heart issue. Jesus said you have to forgive from the heart. And so one day I had lunch with someone, and we got in a disagreement, and I said I was sorry, and she said she was sorry. And the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. And so I said, Lord, she said she was sorry. And I said, I'm sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord says she's reminding you of issues you haven't forgiven your mother for. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. The Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. Lord, I forgive my mother for having a sharp tongue. I forgive my mother for being critical. I forgive my mother. I forgive my mother. And you know what? It was over. And so there's been other issues with that same person, but it's a totally different scenario. And so then it left. And there's other times when people would say, Carla, would you forgive me for what I said yesterday? And she'll say, well, what'd you say? And I say, well, you saw I said this, or they said that. She'll say, well, I didn't even pay attention to what you said. You see, that's not a heart issue. When you can quickly forgive, it's not a heart issue. But if you can't forgive, it's a mother-daddy issue. And when you forgive, God will close that door. And it's a choice. You don't have to want to. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to think it's fair. You choose to forgive because you love God more than you love that demon of unforgiveness. My friend Milton Green, he'd say, when that demon of unforgiveness starts talking to you, and your hair would be out like this, he said, you say, Lord, I choose to love you more than this demon of unforgiveness. But it took years before I realized how you get over it. Is if you can't get over it, it's a heart issue that you have to deal with. And when you deal with your heart issue, then it's gone. Another barrier to healing is the lack of understanding. Proverbs 15:32 says that when we turn to God for Him to discipline us, we'll gain understanding, which is the truth that sets me free. When I go to God and say, Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me through this trial. And then you do whatever He shows you. Another barrier to healing is a cult. Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy 4:16, or having cursed objects in your home, having Buddhas in your house. I know one lady's house that recently went into, I mean, it was wall-to-wall stuffed animals. And that are collections of things. And it brings a lot of oppression, does. And then making covenants with people that worship false gods. If you've got Freemasonry in your bloodline, can I tell you that's a cause of brain problems, breast problems, breathing problems? A few days ago, I had a man who's been coming to my Bible study. This precious man, you can just tell he doesn't see his sin. I mean, you know, it's like everything is just great. But he called me a few days ago and he said, I have COPD and I have diabetes and something else, some kind of a lung problem. And I was asking questions. I said, well, brother, I just really don't have any insight. And then the Holy Spirit quickened to me. I said, you don't have Masons in your bloodline, do you? He said, oh, I'm a 32nd degree Mason. And I just asked him, have you ever compromised the Word of God since you've been a Christian? Oh, no. I said, you know what, brother? That's Satanism. You know, every level of Masons, they're building, with every level, they're building a temple for the beast. And when you're the 30th or 32nd degree Mason, they say you have reached sinless perfection, which explains why this man didn't see his sin. Everything was just perfect. And they, the temple is completed either at the 30th or the 32nd degree for the Lucifer to sit in. The God, the, this architect of this great architect of the universe is Lucifer himself. It is total Satanism. We have false prophets here in this country that are probably the most popular prophets in this country that are Knights of Malta, which is a part of Freemasonry. And there's a lady named Yvonne Kitchen who's written a book in Australia. It's expensive. It's like $50, but it's about that thick, and she goes through every level of Masons. And recently, I and two other intercessors went through in my secretary, and we confessed and broke every level of Masons in our lives because someone had said, well, it could be the root to skin cancer or eye problems. You know, the vows that you make have to do with cutting your throat, tearing out your heart, cutting out your eyes, cutting out your breast, your lungs. And that's if you've got physical problems and there's Masons in your bloodline. Or if you have a problem comprehending, understanding. And I include Masons in Dee Malay and Rainbow Girls and Eastern Star. And not only that, there's breakoffs of that, Woodmen of the World, and there's a lot of groups that have broke off from the Masons that are totally satanic. Fraternities, where you give allegiance to a false god, or sororities. These can be roots and barriers to healing and doorways until you find them. And until you get to all of the roots and you deal with the barriers to sin, can I tell you there's something you don't yet see? Because sickness is a curse. Sickness is a curse. Sickness is a curse. And a curse without a cause cannot lie. So if you're sick, there has to be a cause. And so looking for the cause of the curse and finding it, as you do that, your soul will prosper because you're going to only find the cause of the curse in here. And I've got some things that are not listed in here, but I've got the symptoms I can find in here. If you can't find the body parts, you can find the scriptures. Spoken curses. Things that we speak over others and others speak over us. Lacking transparency. Idolatry. You know you have idolatry if you have depression, fear, anger, terror. Just a few things are roots of idolatry. Deuteronomy 32. You can cast out a spirit of anger all day long, but until you get the idol that's connected to the anger, it's not gonna stay gone. So your hot, I love what Chris Simpson said, your hot button is connected to an idol. It's connected to a wire that's connected to an idol. Sitting under false teachers. We have been so programmed by the proponents of one world government. They've gone in, they've infiltrated the church, they've watered down the doctrines, they own the Zondervan book company is owned by the guy that owns Fox News. What's his name? No, not that's CNN. Rupert Murdoch. And he has been responsible for bringing more pornography into England. And so what they do is they go in. You know, they know they can't take America by force, but it's like putting a frog in water. Just keep increasing the temperature till the frog's dead and can't climb out. Be careful what you let program your brain. They own Fox News. They own CNN. They own the news networks. They own the Associated Press. They own all the news. That my granddaughter is a reporter for KTRE in Lufkin, and I told her Thanksgiving. I mean, that little girl is so smart. I thought I was almost getting not a headache, but listening to her and her daddy debate, she could go for 5 minutes without coming up for air. I mean, you could not get a word in. I mean, in every word fit what she was saying. I said, Holly, I don't want you to let the world, the things the world believes, to brainwash you because you're in the, you know, you hear the world view. I said, get in the Word of God and make sure you know the Bible view. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Another barrier to healing is vexation in the heart, which is wrath, grief, provocation, idolatry in the heart. Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, so remove vexation, anger, wrath, grief, provocation, idolatry from your heart and put pain out of your body. Pain is rooted in vexation. Another is failure to be anointed with oil. The Bible says, if any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. Another root is not loving others and loving yourself through God's perspective. I pray, God, give me your eyes. I want to see people from your point of view. And I haven't. And I want to. Especially difficult family members. Lord, I want to see them with your eyes of compassion in your heart. Another one is failure to have someone lay hands on you. Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Another one is a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality. Being angry and agitated. Sarcasm. The other day I was around some family members, and just this one family member, it was just sarcasm, sarcasm, sarcasm coming out of their mouth. And the Lord showed me that sarcasm is one way that hatred disguises itself. And God, you know what? Sarcasm is an abomination to God. And so I bless these people every day. Lord, let us, and many of you couples, all you couples from Lake Hamilton, I pray for y'all by name that you'll be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I pray that for myself. But that's something that marriages need. Communication, friendship, fun, laughter, a sense of humor, eyes to see each other from God's point of view and see yourself from God's point of view. Friendship, unity under the Lordship of Jesus. Those were all the things that I didn't get to have when I was married. Sometimes you can look back in hindsight, you think, you know, things could have been different maybe if I'd have had a different way of looking at things. Y'all ever do that? You look back and think. And then I say, Lord, would you please ask my husband to forgive me? I hope he's in heaven, but Lord, you can ask him wherever he is. God says, envy, passion, rottens the bones. A lack of persevering and seeking God. Sometimes when we pray and we don't see the results, we give up. Well, that didn't work. I've already confessed my sins. That doesn't work. Well, the Lord taught me through this girl who had come out of Satanism. She had so many problems that I couldn't deal with all of her problems. I had to deal with the problem for the day. And so we would say, Lord, show her the root to this. Show her what ritual she was put through, whatever. And then that thing would be gone. And the Lord showed me it was like peeling an onion. And deliverance and healing and sanctification is like peeling an onion. And the layer that's next is the one that's bothering you the most. That's what God wants to heal. And don't give up. I mean, I remember she was bleeding from her ears and rectum through satanic rituals, through blood baths and things that they're killing people, drowning them in blood and watching all of that in Satanism. And we'd pray for a layer. We'd deal with whatever. And she'd quit bleeding. And the bleeding wouldn't come back, and maybe the bleeding would come back a week later. So then I'd say, okay, Lord, show us the root to this. And the Lord would show us, and she'd get healed, and she'd quit bleeding. Now, if it had been the same thing every week, I think she never got delivered the first time. But every layer was a different scenario, a different something. And it took almost 2 years for her to get healed. But eventually she was totally healed of the bleeding. And so don't give up because you've got one layer off. It doesn't mean you're not healed or you're not delivered. It means that you've got that much more freedom. And it may just be one layer to the onion as to why you're sick. There could be 1,000 reasons. I think there's been 1,000 reasons for these eyes. But when I went back to the guy that just chest optometrist, not the regular specialist, but just the guy that gives you the eyeglasses. He gave me the glasses back from 2 years ago through just repenting over the Word of God, because He sent His Word to heal me. Unrest. Unrest. With unrest comes fear, anxiety, and stress. And fear is at the root. If you have an autoimmune disease, it's rooted in fear. So you've got to deal with the fear. Another reason, another barrier is hardness of heart. God says, today when you hear My voice, don't harden your heart. Then soul ties. You can carry the soul ties of who, you can carry the diseases, the sicknesses, the familiar spirits, and all the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. If Carla and I have you can have good soul ties in the body of Christ. There's good soul ties, but a bad soul tie, God's Word says, when one suffer, we all suffer. My son died of AIDS. And for him to have gotten healed, one of the things he would have had to do would be repent over every homosexual he had sex with, break soul ties with, because he probably had sex with. He said, Mom, there was so many, if I met him on the street, I wouldn't remember them. So many faces, and most of them had AIDS. And he was a person that he was too weak to fight even when he was well. So when he was dying of AIDS, he just didn't have the strength to persevere. Praise God, He's in heaven. But that was something that I found out, I should have known then. But he was just too weak. Bitterness, harlotry, the consequences of harlotry. The Bible says that idolatry causes you to lose your understanding. Babylon, which is a type of a church that doesn't teach you to repent of your sin, or a church member that lives like Esau lives, sells his birthright for flesh, is Babylon. Living after the flesh. You know what is so sad? Leonard Ravenhill says 98% of church members are lost. Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost. And I believe they're pretty close to right, because we've been so conditioned. There's no repentance in churches. There's no Word of God in churches. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no holiness. Oh, everybody's got a little anger. Everybody's got a little sin. It's compromise. And so I was able to tell my brother, who was a Mason, brother, that's the root of your physical problems right there. So I stand up. And I trust the Lord has spoken to your heart about things. But we have to repent of our sin on a daily basis. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Lord, show me every barrier, every doorway. Show me the answers to the problems that have been facing me. Your word is truth. And you watch over your word to perform it. Lord, I ask you for the truth that makes me free. And then just repent of whatever and then sit down when you're through. I said earlier, if you're on some kind of psychiatric medicine or medicines, I'm not condemning you, but I'm telling you that if you find the roots to your problem and you repent and you deal with your sin and you get deliverance and keep coming to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, because I believe it's the greatest place that you can come to get free and get delivered. I believe that with all my heart. And I tell people to come here. If you need deliverance, you can come every morning to a prayer meeting. And you'll hear a pure word. It's not, you're not going to hear flaky stuff. And if you're on medications, no condemnation. But as you get delivered and as you begin to learn to walk in repentance, you'll need it less and less and less. And it'll just fall away. Did you know that number one killer of people in America is heart attacks? Number two is cancer. Number three and four together is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. Not even illegal drugs. Not even in the first 10. but they never would admit a medical mistake. That's destroying your temple.
Right.
Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God says, if you destroy your temple, I'll destroy you.
Right.
So you've got to stop it. If you want to get healed and delivered, you've got to stop doing the things that displease God.
Right.
So, Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for making doctors my God and hospitals and medical. Forgive me for looking to sorcery instead of you. Lord, Lord, I want to be born again. If I'm not born again, forgive me for not being willing to give up my life and let you control me. Lord, I come under your control right now. And show me what I need to deny and turn from. Forgive me for not letting my soul prosper in the Word of God. I just break the power of the lie that Christians cannot be under a curse. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to break the curse off me through disobedience to your voice and your commandment. Forgive me for being a grumbler, a moaner, a groaner, a complainer, and not praising you. Lord, set my soul free from prison that I might praise you. Forgive me for not confessing my sin and repenting on a daily basis, a moment-by-moment basis. The minute I sin, forgive me for not asking you to forgive me. Forgive me for covering over my sin that has blocked me from healing. Forgive me for living after the flesh, which has opened me up to a spirit of death. Forgive me for making a refuge out of other things instead of you. Forgive me for not having the knowledge that keeps me from perishing because I haven't been in your word. God, heal the breaches of my heart. Forgive me for the wrong refuge, unconfessed and unrepented of sin. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. And I forgot to say, when your conscience is clear, you'll have faith. 1 John 3:21, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. So, Lord, forgive me for unbelief and doubt stemming from a violation in my conscience. Forgive me for trusting in man and the flesh more than you. Forgive me for holding anger and unforgiveness toward my mother and father and other people. Forgive me for all the times that I have been prideful. Forgive me, Lord, for holding anger and unforgiveness, taking the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. Forgive me for a lack of understanding because of idolatry and not allowing you to discipline me. Lord, I forgive every person that you have shown me that I need to forgive, and I forgive myself. And Lord, I renounce Satan worship and witchcraft and Freemasonry and every cult that my forefathers have been involved in, even Indian ancestry of worshiping false gods. Lord, forgive me. I break all covenants of death, all covenants to Satan, all covenants to lodges and sororities and Freemasonry and Eastern Star and Dee Malay and Rainbow Girls and Oddfellow and Woodmen of the World and all of these organizations that stem from Freemasonry. God, forgive me for making covenant with them. I ask you to forgive me for speaking curses on myself and others. I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual that I spoke or that was spoken over my forefathers or spoken over me. Forgive me for not being transparent. Forgive me for being disobedient to your word, sitting under false teaching. God, I just ask you to take the vexation, the grief, the anger, the provocation, the wrath, and the idolatry out of my heart so that pain can be put from my body. Forgive me for not having people anoint me with oil or lay hands on me. Forgive me for not loving myself or loving others. forgive me for having a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality and being full of idolatry. Forgive me for my lack of perseverance, giving up, and Lord, thinking this isn't working, so I just give up. God, forgive me for unrest, fear, anxiety, and stress. I forgive my mother and father for their fear, for not training me up in the way I should go, for not I forgive them that I was not born under your refuge, Lord. Forgive me for spiritual adultery that would cause you to release plagues over the harlot. Forgive me for wiping my mouth and saying I've done nothing wrong. Lord, I take accountability for this sin and every sin that you've shown me, and I do confess my sin, and I do ask you to forgive me, and I do repent today. And Lord, I receive you as Lord, Master, and King of my life. That means that I have to do what you say in Jesus' name. Not to be saved, but because I am born again, I will do what you say. Thank you that I'm saved by your grace, but if I'm saved, I will obey in Jesus' name. Now I come against sickness, distress, disease. I come against rebellion, inferiority, rejection. I come against mental illness and insanity. I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break every curse that has opened the door to sickness in their lives. In the name of Jesus, rooted in rebellion, generational rebellion. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I break soul ties with hospitals, doctors, nurses, every person who's medically touched me. And forgive me for signing that little paper that says I give them unlawful authority over my body and that I won't hold them accountable if they botch the job. God, in Jesus' name, I take back that unlawful authority and I give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I come against sickness, distress, disease, bipolar, COPD, lung problems, cancer, skin cancer, macular degeneration of the eyes, eye problems, blindness, deafness. I come against, in Jesus' name, all liver problems, heart attack, heart failure. I come against spirits of Leviathan, spirits of pride, unbelief and doubt. I break your power, anger, torment. You have to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we break all soul ties with every person that you have shown them that they have a soul tie with. In Jesus' name, we call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. Forgive me for letting just any Tom, Dick, and Harry lay hands on me. In Jesus' name, forgive me for laying hands on people too suddenly. Lord, we break soul ties with every person that's laid hands on us, with ungodly hands, and every person we've laid hands on, without asking you. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We change their image for the image of Christ. All vexation, all pain, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of heart problems, lung problems, problems with dysfunctional endocrine system. We break the power of pancreas problems, spleen problems, liver problems, adultery that's caused an arrow pierced through their liver. I pull out the arrows from their liver in Jesus' name. Back problems, shoulder problems, head problems, brain problems has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Gluttony, self-indulgence, overindulgence, hunger, fat, food, sugar, sluggish metabolism, you have to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Lord, forgive me for all the times I let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for bitterness and resentment and hatred. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the... Nobody got delivered? Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless Tammy and bless every person in the kitchen. Bless every worker here at Lake Hamilton, Linda and Ralph and Patty and Kevin and Linda and Rick and Jane and what else. Everybody that works here in this camp, we bless them. We bless the food. We ask you to purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for it. Thank you for another day of wonderful food here in America. Thank you that we were young and now we're old, but we have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. God bless you. And we rule in the midst of our enemies. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.